Chapter 21. Took possession at the street door of the lapel of Mr. Pinch's coat, as a security against further interruption, and entertained that gentleman with some highly improving discourse until they reached the Dragon, whither they were closely followed by Mark and the new pupil. The rosy hostess scarcely needed Mr. Pinch's word as a preliminary to the release of her two visitors, of whom she was glad to be rid on any terms. Indeed, their brief detention had originated mainly with Mr. Tapley, who entertained a constitutional dislike to gentlemen out at elbows who flourished on false pretenses, and had conceived a particular aversion to Mr. Tigg and his friend, as choice specimens of the species. The business in hand thus easily settled, Mr. Pinch and Martin would have withdrawn immediately, but for the urgent entreaties of Mr. Tigg, that they would allow him the honor of presenting them to his friend Slime, which were so very difficult of resistance that, yielding partly to these persuasions and partly to their own curiosity, they suffered themselves to be ushered into the presence of that distinguished gentleman. He was brooding over the remains of yesterday's decanter of brandy, and was engaged in the thoughtful occupation of making a chain of rings on the top of the table with the wet foot of his drinking glass. Wretched and forlorn as he looked, Mr. Slime had once been in his way, the choicest of swaggerers. Putting forth his pretensions boldly, as a man of infinite taste and most undoubted promise, the stock in trade requisite to set up an amateur in this department of business is very slight, and easily got together. A trick of the nose and a curl of the lip sufficient to compound a tolerable sneer, being ample provision for any exigency. But, in an evil hour, this offshoot of the chisel with trunk, being lazy, and ill qualified for any regular pursuit, and having dissipated such means as he ever possessed, had formally established himself as a professor of taste for a livelihood. And finding, too late, that something more than his old amount of qualifications was necessary to sustain him in this calling, had quickly fallen to his present level, where he retained nothing of his old self, but his boastfulness and his bile, and seemed to have no existence separate, or apart from his friend Tigg. And now so abject, and so pitiful was he at once so maudlin, insolent, beggarly, and proud that even his friend and parasite, standing erect beside him, swelled into a man by contrast. "Chiv," apostrophe said Mr. Tigg, clapping him on the back, "my friend Pecksniff not being at home, I have arranged our trifling piece of business with Mr. Pinch and friend. Mr. Pinch and friend, Mr. Chevy Slime. Chiv, Mr. Pinch and friend. Apostrophe apostrophe, these are agreeable circumstances in which to be introduced to strangers," apostrophe said Chevy Slime, turning his bloodshot eyes towards Tom Pinch. "I am the most miserable man in the world, I believe." Apostrophe, Tom begged he wouldn't mention it, and finding him in this condition, retired, after an awkward pause, followed by Martin. But Mr. Tick so urgently conjured them, by coughs and signs, to remain in the shadow of the door, that they stopped there. "I swear," apostrophe cried Mr. Slime, giving the table an imbecile blow with his fist, and then feebly leaning his head upon his hand, while some drunken drops oozed from his eyes, "that I am the wretchedest creature on record. Society is in a conspiracy against me. I'm the most literary man alive. I'm full of scholarship. I'm full of genius. I'm full of information. I'm full of novel views on every subject. Yet look at my condition. I'm at this moment obliged to two strangers for a tavern bill." Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Tigg replenished his friend's glass, pressed it into his hand, and nodded an intimation to the visitors that they would see him in a better aspect immediately. "Obliged to two strangers for a tavern bill, eh?" Apostrophe apostrophe, repeated Mr. Slime, after a sulky application to his glass. "Very pretty. And crowds of impostors, the while, becoming famous, men who are no more on the level with me than Tigg, I take you to witness, that I am the most persecuted hound on the face of the earth. apostrophe, with a whine, not unlike the cry of the animal he named, in its lowest state of humiliation, he raised his glass to his mouth again. He found some encouragement in it, for when he set it down he laughed scornfully. Upon that Mr. Tigg gesticulated to the visitors once more, and with great expression, implying that now the time was come when they would see Chiv in his greatness. Ha, 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 apostrophe laugh Mr. Slime. Obliged to two strangers for a tavern bill. Yet I think I've a rich uncle, Tigg, who could buy up the uncles of 50 strangers. Have I, or have I not? I come of a good family, I believe. Do I, or do I not? I'm not a man of common capacity or accomplishments, I think. Am I, or am I not? Apostrophe, you are the American aloe of the human race, my dear Chiv, apostrophe said Mr. Tigg, which only blooms once in 100 years. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ha, ha, ha. Apostrophe, apostrophe, laugh Mr. Slime again. Obliged to two strangers for a tavern bill. I obliged to two architect's apprentices. Fellows who measure earth with iron chains, and build houses like bricklayers. Give me the names of those two apprentices. How dare they oblige me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Tigg was quite lost in admiration of this noble trait in his friend's character, as he made known to Mr. Pinch in a neat little ballet of action, spontaneously invented for the purpose. I'll let him know, and I'll let all men know, apostrophe cried Chevy Slime, that I'm none of the mean, groveling, tame characters they meet with commonly. I have an independent spirit. I have a heart that swells in my bosom. I have a soul that rises superior to base considerations. Apostrophe, oh Chiv, Chiv, apostrophe murmured Mr. Tigg, you have a nobly independent nature, Chiv. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you go, and do your duty, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Slime, angrily, and borrow money for traveling expenses, and whoever you borrow it of, let him know that I possess a haughty spirit, and a proud spirit, and have infernally finely touched chords in my nature, which won't brook patronage. Do you hear? Tell him I hate him, and that's the way I preserve my self-respect. And tell him that no man ever respected himself more than I do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he might have added, that he hated two sorts of men, all those who did him favors, and all those who were better off than himself, as in either case their position was an insult to a man of his stupendous merits. But he did not, for with the apt closing words above recited, Mr. Slime, of too haughty a stomach to work, to beg, to borrow, or to steal, yet mean enough to be worked or borrowed, begged, or stolen for, by any catspaw that would serve his turn, too insolent to lick the hand that fed him in his need, yet cur enough to bite and tear it in the dark. With these apt closing words Mr. Slime fell forward with his head upon the table, and so declined into a sodden sleep. Was there ever, apostrophe cried Mr. Tigg, joining the young men at the door, and shutting it carefully behind him, such an independent spirit as is possessed by that extraordinary creature? Was there ever such a Roman as our friend Chiv? Was there ever a man of such a purely classical turn of thought, and of such a toga-like simplicity of nature? Was there ever a man with such a flow of eloquence? Might he not, gents both, I ask, have sat upon a tripod in the ancient times, and prophesied to a perfectly unlimited extent, if previously supplied with gin and water at the public cost? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Pinch was about to contest this latter position with his usual mildness, when, observing that his companion had already gone downstairs, he prepared to follow him. You are not going, Mr. Pinch? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Tigg. Thank you, apostrophe answered Tom. Yes. Don't come down. Apostrophe, do you know that I should like one little word in private with you, Mr. Pinch? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Tigg, following him. 1 minute of your company in the skittle ground would very much relieve my mind. Might I beseech that favor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, certainly, apostrophe, replied Tom, if you really wish it. Apostrophe, so he accompanied Mr. Tigg to the retreat in question. On arriving at which place that gentleman took from his hat what seemed to be the fossil remains of an antediluvian pocket handkerchief, and wiped his eyes therewith. You have not beheld me this day, apostrophe, said Mr. Tigg, in a favorable light. Apostrophe, don't mention that, apostrophe, said Tom, I beg. Apostrophe, but you have not, apostrophe, cried Tigg. I must persist in that opinion. If you could have seen me, Mr. Pinch, at the head of my regiment on the coast of Africa, charging in the form of a hollow square, with the women and children and the regimental plate chest in the center, you would not have known me for the same man. You would have respected me, sir. Apostrophe, Tom had certain ideas of his own upon the subject of glory, and consequently he was not quite so much excited by this picture as Mr. Tigg could have desired. But no matter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said that gentleman. The schoolboy writing home to his parents and describing the milk and water, said, this is indeed weakness. I repeat that assertion in reference to myself at the present moment, and I ask your pardon. Sir, you have seen my friend Slime? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no doubt, apostrophe, said Mr. Pinch. Sir, you have been impressed by my friend Slime? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not very pleasantly, I must say, apostrophe, answered Tom, after a little hesitation. I am grieved but not surprised, apostrophe, cried Mr. Tigg, detaining him with both hands, to hear that you have come to that conclusion, for it is my own. But, Mr. Pinch, though I am a rough and thoughtless man, I can honor mind. I honor mind in following my friend. To you of all men, Mr. Pinch, I have a right to make appeal on mind's behalf when it is not the art to push its fortune in the world. And so, sir, not for myself, who have no claim upon you, but for my crushed, my sensitive and independent friend, who has I asked the loan of 3 half-crowns. I ask you for the loan of 3 half-crowns, distinctly, and without a blush. I ask it, almost as a right. And when I add, that they will be returned by post, this week, I feel that you will blame me for that sordid stipulation. Apostrophe, Mr. Pinch took from his pocket an old-fashioned red leather purse with a steel clasp, which had probably once belonged to his deceased grandmother. It held 1/2 sovereign and no more. All Tom's worldly wealth until next quarter day. Stay! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Tigg, who had watched this proceeding keenly. I was just about to say that for the convenience of posting you had better make it gold. Thank you. A general direction, I suppose, to Mr. Pinch at Mr. Pecksniff's will that find you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that'll find me, apostrophe, said Tom. You had better put Esquire to Mr. Pecksniff's name, if you please. Direct to me, you know, at Seth Pecksniff's Esquire. Apostrophe, at Seth Pecksniff's Esquire, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Tigg, taking an exact note of it with a stump of pencil. We said this week, I believe? Apostrophe, yes, or Monday will do, apostrophe, observed Tom. No, no, I beg your pardon. Monday will not do, apostrophe, said Mr. Tigg. If we stipulated for this week, Saturday is the latest day. Did we stipulate for this week? Apostrophe, apostrophe, since you are so particular about it, apostrophe, said Tom, I think we did. Apostrophe, Mr. Tigg added this condition to his memorandum, read the entry over to himself with a severe frown, and that the transaction might be the more correct and businesslike, appended his initials to the whole. That done, he assured Mr. Pinch that everything was now perfectly regular, and, after squeezing his hand with great fervor, departed. Tom entertained enough suspicion that Martin might possibly turn this interview into a jest to render him desirous to avoid the company of that young gentleman for the present. With this view, he took a few turns up and down the skittle ground, and did not re-enter the house until Mr. Tigg and his friend had quitted it, and the new pupil and Mark were watching their departure from one of the windows. "I was just a-saying, sir, that if one could live by it," apostrophe observed Mark, pointing after their late guests, "that would be the sort of service for me. Waiting on such individuals as them would be better than grave digging, sir. Apostrophe, and staying here would be better than either, Mark," apostrophe replied Tom. "So take my advice, and continue to swim easily in smooth water. Apostrophe, it's too late to take it now, sir," apostrophe said Mark. "I have broke it to her, sir. I am off tomorrow morning." Apostrophe, off. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pinch, "where to?" Apostrophe, "I shall go up to London, sir." Apostrophe, "what to be?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Pinch. "Well, I don't know yet, sir. Nothing turned up that day I opened my mind to you, as was at all likely to suit me. All them trades I thought of was a deal too jolly. There was no credit at all to be got in any of them. I must look for a private service, I suppose, sir. I might be brought out strong, perhaps, in a serious family, Mr. Pinch." Apostrophe, "perhaps you might come out rather too strong for a serious family's taste, Mark." Apostrophe, "that's possible, sir. If I could get into a wicked family, I might do myself justice. But the difficulty is to make sure of one's ground, because a young man can't very well advertise that he wants a place, and wages aren't so much an object as a wicked situation, can he, sir?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "why, no," apostrophe said Mr. Pinch, "I don't think he can." Apostrophe, "an envious family," apostrophe pursued Mark, "with a thoughtful face, or a quarrelsome family, or a malicious family, or even a good out-and-out mean family, would open a field of action as I might do something in. The man as would have suited me of all other men was that old gentleman as was took ill here, for he really was a trying customer. Howsoever, I must wait and see what turns up, sir, and hope for the worst." Apostrophe, "you are determined to go then?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Pinch. "My box is gone already, sir, by the wagon, and I'm going to walk on tomorrow morning, and get a lift by the day coach when it overtakes me. So I wish you goodbye, Mr. Pinch, and you too, sir, and all good luck and happiness." Apostrophe, apostrophe, they both returned his greeting laughingly, and walked home arm in arm. Mr. Pinch imparting to his new friend, as they went, such further particulars of Mark Tapley's whimsical restlessness as the reader is already acquainted with. In the meantime Mark, having a shrewd notion that his mistress was in very low spirits, and that he could not exactly answer for the consequences of any lengthened tete-a-tete in the bar, kept himself obstinately out of her way all the afternoon and evening. In this piece of generalship he was very much assisted by the great influx. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.